Hey, I've got something here. Craig Groeschel, one of the great pastors in America. It's called Fight. Guys, this is the book that we're going to be using on Wednesday night. And here's what it says in the back. Don't just fight like a man. Fight like a man of God. And so we're going to look at the story of the life of Samson. And I'll guarantee you, Samson had issues. But how many know that he overcame? And we're going to teach you guys the same principles, along with my own life, give you testimonies. It's going to be great. And these books, we had them embossed. I guess that's what they call that, printed. CNC Men's Fight Club. That's what it says right there. You probably can't see it from where you are. But these books are going to be available. They're going to cost, I think, $15, hardback book. And a great, great read. We're going to go through the book. We're going to have discussion. We're going to have prayer together. And we're going to meet in a different place every Wednesday night. Why? I don't know. Just to have fun. So we may meet outside. We may meet in a park somewhere. We may meet on the other end of the sanctuary. Who knows where we're going to meet? But I'll tell you one thing. You won't be the same. All right? Amen. Amen. I want you to stand up on your feet with me. I want you to lift your hands up to heaven right now. And I want you to begin to declare with me. Say, Father God, I am ready to go to another level. I am ready to experience more of you. The supernatural power of God in this generation to prove to everyone that Jesus is Lord. Amen. Look at somebody and say, I'm ready. Are you ready? Come on. I'm ready. Are you ready? Amen. I'm ready. Are you ready? Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to share with you something this morning that I just have to tell you I work with every day in my life. But this principle will really help you to gain the victory. How many are interested in getting victory and not just survival, right? I am. And so I'm going to teach these principles this morning that we're going to continue this series this summer called Faith Camp. And we're teaching us on faith, that we walk by faith, not by sight. And many of us are going through trouble. But notice what I said. You're going through trouble. All right? But look at Luke 24:49. The title of this message is simply Explosive Blessing. Explosive blessing. I like that word explosive because it tells me something's got to be shattered. Something's got to be unearthed. If you've ever seen them dynamite a mountain to make a roadway, they have to move the sediment, the rock. They have to move that which is established and defying the pathway. So they ignite it with explosives and suddenly there's a mess everywhere. But know this, that when the mess is created, it is now the pathway to the miracle. So know that we're in a process today of experiencing a miracle pathway by God. Here's what happened in Luke 24. Jesus had been crucified. Get this with me. Now the disciples are up in this room locked in. The doors are locked. The window shades are down. And this is what they said. He said, wait. 24:49. No. Did I say that? I'm sorry. 24:36. That was my mistake. He came into the room where they were and he told them that peace be to you. Now, why was he telling them peace be to you? Go to the next verse in verse 37. But they were terrified and frightened. Everybody say terrified.
Terrified.
Say frightened. And they supposed they'd seen a spirit. Then in verse 38, and he said to them, why are you what?
Trouble.
Why are you what?
Trouble.
And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Notice this, troubled, doubts arising in your heart. Now notice what was happening to them. They were huddled together and they were rehearsing what their future was going to be. They were hiding from the Romans. They were frightened. They were trouble. And they were all in one mind and one accord. Everybody say one mind. One accord. You know that they were in one mind and one accord with doubt and trouble and fear. That was the place they were in. Everybody say place. Now, the reason why I'm asking you to talk to me is because I want you to know that there is a place of doubt, fear, and trouble, but that doesn't mean just because you're in that place that you have to stay in that place. God has another place for you. Look over at somebody and say, there's another place for you. Come on, there's another place for you. Now, you got to work with me, church. You got to work with me. Because I've got to pry you out of that place. You're so used to hanging out in that place of trouble and fear and doubt that I got to grab hold of you, lasso you, pick you up, hog tie you, throw you over my shoulder, and take you to another place. But I am not going to allow you to stay there. I refuse to allow you to stay there. Now you just have to get ready to go to another place. So Jesus walks into the place of fear, doubt, and unbelief. And what does he say? When he walks into that place, he says what? Peace be to you. Now notice what Jesus was doing. He was interjecting a different thought. He was interjecting into their minds the thought of peace, which means nothing missing, nothing broken, wholeness, God's plan operating in your life. Because they had thoughts that were contrary to wholeness. They thought they were going to be crucified. They thought they were going to be arrested. They thought they were going to be destroyed. They were full of fear and full of doubt because of circumstances around them. And Jesus walks in the midst of them. Matter of fact, he didn't even use their door. The door was barred. He didn't need a door. He didn't come through the window. He didn't need a window. He didn't come down the chimney. No, this wasn't Saint Nick. This was Jesus Christ. And he appeared right in the middle of the room. And he declared to them, peace be with you. Peace be with you. And I'm speaking to somebody today who has been troubled, who have had fear, who have had doubts, who have been in those moments when there's these thoughts that arise in your life and you are coming in agreement with them. And it is determining your future. I don't know about you, but I have had to fight thoughts that come into my mind and help create a future that are not God's plan for me. Come on, you can't live outside of the will of God. You know what I'm talking about? You can't afford to go there. Look at somebody and say, don't go there. Some of you are thinking about it right now. You're thinking about that honey across the hallway from you at work. Don't go there. You're thinking about popping that bottle. Don't go there. You're thinking about running the red light district. Don't go there. Look at somebody and say, don't go there. You can't afford to go there. You say, well, I'm not going to go there. You keep thinking like that. You're going to go there. Because as a man thinks in his heart. Now, I know something here. We are living as the sum of our previous thoughts. Now, listen to me. Your current place is not your permanent place. Say that with me. My current place is not my permanent place. Now notice this. This is powerful. Jesus will always enter your current place. He's not intimidated by your fear, by your doubt, by your thoughts that are destructive, by your thoughts that are sinful. Jesus will come right in there and set up shop in the middle of them all. And he'll declare to them the counter thought. Peace be still. Peace be unto you. Be healed. Be delivered. Be set free. You can feel like you're as bound as whatever. And Jesus will walk right in and say, be free in Jesus' name. Be free. See, he'll come right in and counter the thinking that you have lived with for so long. Now, what he's telling you is that the place you're currently in is not your permanent place. Now notice this, verse 36 to 38 again. Now as they said these things, put verse 36 up there. Read that part with me. Ready? Now as they said these things. One more time. Now as they said these things. Notice, you will and I will say what we think. Look, I don't know how people do this, but opinions of people, actions of people, their evaluations of us, all of their perspectives. You know, it's an amazing thing. I can come home and say, Tina, you just won't believe what so-and-so said to me today. Now, I'd have to say it. Now, I don't have to say it, but I usually end up saying it. But I can't say it unless I've thought it. So when someone says something to me, the thought comes into my mind. And I'm like, okay, what do I do with this? And Jesus said, let me step into that and give you a counter thought. Because if you stay in that thought, you're going to stay up in this place. And this place that you're in is a place of doubt and fear. And understand, the place of doubt and fear is a place where I can do no great miracle. How many want to see great miracles in your life? I do. How many want to see increase in supernatural results? I do. So then I can't stay in a place of doubt and fear. I've got to change my place. So this is what Jesus said to him. He said, I want you to go to another place. Verse 49 of Luke 24. Behold, I'm going to send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem. Now, I've been to the upper room in Jerusalem. I don't know if that's the upper room, but that's where they take you when you go look at the upper room. But when I walked into that place, there were people from all kinds of traditions, people from all over the world. But when our group walked into the upper room, we walked in there and we were shoulda, coulda, woulda, shoulda, coulda, woulda, shoulda, coulda, woulda, shoulda, coulda, woulda. We were in there praising God, speaking in tongues, asking anybody that wanted to be baptized in the Holy Spirit to move forward. We were laying hands on people. People were falling out. And all the people that were there in the same room with us are going, shh. This is a holy place. It's an amazing thing. You could be in the same place as another person in the natural and be in a completely different place in the spiritual. Do you know what I'm talking about? I don't have to live like you do. I don't have to think like you do. I don't have to agree with you. I can say and be kind, but listen, honey, I am not listening. Talk to the hand. Because I realize that God has a place for me. And the place is where there is dunamis, where there is power. So he said, I want you to move from this place of doubt and fear to this place of what? Expectation. Get this. It wasn't a place of the power of God yet. It wasn't a place of dunamis. It wasn't a place of wind blowing and fire falling. It was a place of expectation. Do you follow me? He said, get out of this place of doubt and fear and move into this place, because in 10 days, there's going to be a suddenly. And there is going to be an eventually. So you just get in that place, because suddenly and eventually, something's going to happen that is going to break loose everything that's been trying to contain you. And can I just give you hope? Can I just give you hope this morning? God said there's about a time coming in your near future that if you'll just get in the place of expectation, if you'll just get in the place of believing that God will do what He said He will do, and don't go back to the old place, He is going to break loose blessing upon blessing upon blessing over your life and over your family. Now, excuse me, because I might just get happy in here today. and I might have to just get excited and start running around. And if I do, I don't normally act like that, but I can't help it because God has been good to me. Amen? Come on. Has God been good to you? Look at three people and say, God's been good to me. Come on. Come on. Give them a high five. Say, I know God is good to you. In this place, listen, they were in one accord and in one mind. Say one accord. One mind. Notice what they said in verse 36. And after saying these things, they were all talking about their mess. You know how when you get with people, they all like to talk about the mess. I get home, somebody says something mean to me, I want to go home and I want to talk about it to Tina. But there's no reason for me to repeat what they said. Because what they said is contrary to what God said. So why am I letting them in my mind when I know as a man thinks, so is he? I refuse to go back to the place of stinking thinking. Oh, it's hard though. Oh, I just want to tell her, you got to hear what they just said. Ooh, I can't believe they said this. I don't understand it. You know, you got to be careful. Because these thoughts, these words, these opinions... You get up at 4:30 in the morning, and guess what happens? They're in bed with you. Those thoughts are like in bed. You wake up, and you're like, oh, I can't believe they did that. I can't believe they said that. I can't go back to sleep. Oh, I got to turn this way. Oh, I got to turn that way. Maybe I ought to get up and pray. Kick them out of bed. I'm serious. I'm not preaching anything I haven't experienced myself. We all are in this fight of faith. Amen? How many know this is a good fight of faith? You know why it's good? We win. It's not a good fight if you don't win, baby. It's a bad fight if you don't win. So they got into a new place. And what does the Bible say in Acts chapter 2? They were in one place, in one accord, and in one mind. Now, a lot of people have taught, I probably have done it over the years. You know, I've been in this thing a few years. I taught they were in one accord with the God. They were in agreement. They were in unity. And they were in one mind. They were thinking the same thing. Well, that's probably true. But God said to me, if you'll get in this place that I have for you and get in the accord with what I said and come in agreement with what I told you is going to happen, you're going to see an explosive blessing. Now, look, I want you to come along, but I've realized something. I'm going to go all by myself if that's all there is. Because I have determined that when I got up this morning, God gave me a prophetic word. He said, prepare for the celebration. Not for a one-time event, but every day in your life, I'm about to show you some explosive stuff, and you need to prepare to celebrate what I'm about to do. Hallelujah. God wants to bless you. Now, look at this. This is pretty cool. Romans 4:19. You know, Abraham was a pretty amazing guy. If I could just be half the man Abraham was. But the Bible said we could be just like him. He was the father of our faith. That means the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. I said, God, give me the faith of Abraham who considered not. Come on, read it with me. And not being weak in faith. Come on. And not being weak in faith. He did not consider his own body. Come on, keep on reading. And not being weak in faith, he did not what? He did not what? Consider. Consider means think about his body. Why? Because his body was 100 years old. What does that mean? That's a place. If he thought about his body being 100 years old, he wasn't about to see an explosive blessing. If they stayed in the room locked up and the doors barred, the Holy Spirit wasn't being poured out in that room. The Holy Spirit was being poured out over here in this room. So you go up over there in that room and you stay there with expectation until I pour out my Spirit and you be endued with power. Now you can't stay here and get what's going over there. You've got to get out of this place and get into this place. Now, he had to look at his wife. I mean, all due respect, Her womb had dried up. That's probably not the only thing that looked like a prune. And Sarah had difficulty with it as well. Why? What did she say? She laughed. He said, this time next year you're going to have a baby. She's like, and then the angel said, you laughed. She goes, I didn't laugh. Yes, you did. I heard you. The word consider is very, very important. Consider not means pay no attention to the physical obstacles, natural obstacles, both in yourself and in your wife, which might seem to render the fulfillment of what I promised to you as hopeless. Now I'm preaching to me. Do not consider the natural elements of that which present the case that it will not happen as it has been spoken. When you consider, when you begin to think about it and repeat it and begin to talk about it as if it's never going to happen, you will not see the explosive blessings of God. Let me give you an illustration. I want everybody to help me, okay? I want you when I say start counting, I want you to count to 20 in your mind. Are you ready? Count. Now shout, praise the Lord. What happened to your count? Why did it stop? Because you can't think and talk at the same time. Why is that important to know? Because when the devil said, you were going to die, you were going to lose, you were going to be defeated, and all these thoughts come in your mind, the only way to defeat those thoughts is to open up your mouth and say, my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches in glory. But if you start talking what you're thinking, oh, we ain't going to make it. I don't know how this is going to work out. And what happens if you die? And how am I going to be left alone? And who's going to pay the bills? And oh, my goodness, what if I lose my job? And what happens if they don't like me anymore and they move away or they do this? Or what happens if my dog runs out and he probably will get sick and die too? And when you start talking that way, you're staying in a place of fear and doubt. Everybody wave. Say bye-bye to the place of fear and doubt. See, you and I have got to be moving in to the place of expectation, the place of suddenlies and eventualies. And I know that's not a word, but it sounds good. Thoughts of the old place can be interrupted by speaking words describing the new place. Majority rules. Say that with me. Majority rules. Don't settle for where you've been. Get yourself ready for God to do something new. Get yourself ready for God to do something new. You think God's all out of new things? Of course not. Then get yourself ready for God to do something new in you. Because you and God are a majority. I don't need a lot of help. I got up this morning all by myself. God said, let's go. I said, let's do it. He said, with God, all things are possible. He didn't say, with all them people agreeing with you. Come on, you and God are a majority. You got to begin to declare that. Say, God, I believe that with you, all things are possible. With you and me, we're a majority. Isaiah 43:19. Look at this verse. Behold, I do a new thing. Shall it not spring forth? Shall you not know it? Shall you not know it? Shall you not know it? Know it? Think it? Shall you not meditate on it? Shall you not murmur it? Shall you not repeat it? See, we have to know it. Shall we not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Roads in the wilderness and a river in the desert. Many of us have been in deserts. Have you ever been in a desert? Man, I've been in a desert. You know, a place of desert, a doubt and fear and worry. But God said, I've got a new place for you. He makes rivers in the desert. Deserts kill our joy. Deserts dash our hopes. Deserts are places where steal away our dreams and stab us with suffering and sorrow and sting us with pain and startle us with disappointment. Those are deserts. But God said, you know what? In the desert, I'm going to make a way for you. I'm going to make a highway. I'm going to make a pathway in that wilderness. Now, I'm sharing this with you to say, look, we can do this if you want to. Say, I can do this if I choose to. That's the only way this works. You've got to make a choice. I choose to do this. That's right. Not coulda, woulda, shoulda. I choose to do this. I'm not going to let any unwholesome thought come into my mind. I am not going to speak any unwholesome word, only that which gives edification. I'm going to speak well. I'm going to pray for those that despitefully use me and will also abuse. I'm going to bless and curse not. I'm an agent of God on the earth. I believe in the promises of God. I'm in the place of expectation. I know that there's a suddenly about to appear in my life. It is going to be an endowment of power. It is going to be the stamp of divine authority that's going to be laid upon my heart. God's going to change my life. He is going to bring a dynamic, explosive blessing into my family and into my life. You see, you and I need to realize that God can make places that are waste places into watered places. God can take waste and turn them into watered places and transform ruins into rivers. That's the kind of God you serve this morning. He's not a dashboard-sized God. He's not an ear-bob-sized God. He's not a necklace-sized God. He's a great big God that can do miracles, and He can do signs and wonders, and He will take you into a place of suddenly and eventually. Let me tell you something. Isaiah 48:21, I love this. The Bible tells us that God can get water out of a rock. That's it. In a desert, He can take a rock and put water in a rock. And He can make that water come out of the rock. I'm saying, God, only You can do that. Then Corinthians says that the rock followed Israel as they went through the wilderness. And he said that rock was what? Christ. Don't look now, but somebody's following you. Something is behind you. Something goes wherever you go. Christ. It's really symbolic of grace. God's grace is behind you. Grace is an endowment and enablement to perform, to receive, to operate in. It is not a license to be stupid. That's another sermon. Grace is an empowerment, an endowment. And Christ follows us in enduring power. And then he says in verse 3 of Isaiah 45, look at this verse, folks. I love this verse. You know, in the time of ancients, when one kingdom would subdue another kingdom, you know what they would do? They didn't want to give up their gold and silver and treasures, their Rolex watches and their Rolls Royces. So they dug a hole and they buried them in the ground. They put them in underground caverns. Sealed them up so that the conquering nation wouldn't know where they're at. And God said to His people who are in the place of expectation, I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places. You know what He's talking about? He said the enemy who hid all this stuff that was intended for you, thinking that no one will know where it is. They forgot that I neither sleep nor slumber. And while they were digging the hole, I was watching them. And I just want you to know, I know where the blessing is. And you will know that I am the Lord who call you by your name and the God of Israel. You know that there is inventions yet to be discovered? Do you know there are songs yet to be composed? Did we sing Oceans? Is that what you were singing, Melody? Oceans. Who wrote Oceans? Anybody even know? I don't know. But but everybody's singing it. You know, how's it go? Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander. My faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Did you know that song was hidden? Until it was composed, until it was discovered, it was hidden. And God said, He said, look, nobody knows this song but me. And I want to give it to you. Who wants it? And some girl, guy, whoever it was, found the hidden treasure of that song, composed it, and now you and I are all singing it. There's inventions that haven't been discovered. There are songs that haven't been composed. There are ministries that haven't yet been formed. Come on. You and I need to realize that there are relationships yet to be discovered. The family of God is vital to your success. I don't know what you got, but I want it. I don't know what gift is in you, but I'm going to discover it. Because I know my God. God doesn't make junk. He makes awesome people. He makes people that have great faith and great expectancy and who have gifts and talents and treasures. And if I remove myself from all those hidden things and I just want to have my church all by myself, see ya, I don't need ya. It gets kind of dark in here. Kind of lonely in here. I don't know if I could do this. You know why? Because you have too much to offer me. And for me to isolate myself from you is to recognize that I don't need God in thinking that I could do this by myself. I need you. Now look, you may not need me, but some of you don't think you need me, but you go find out you need me. Because I need you. Look at somebody and say, I need you in my life. I need you in my life. You're awesome. You're powerful. You're gifted. You're talented. You're beautiful. You're wonderful. You're amazing. You're smart. And I need that in my life. I need you in my life. I need your perspective. I need your opinion. I need your ideas. I need you to know. I need to know how you know God. I need you to show me the pathway to that victory. I need to follow your example. I need to model for you. You need to model for me. Do you follow what I'm saying? You see, this is so vital that we have relationships. Do not isolate yourself, especially as you see the day drawing near. But we need to come together, but not just attend church. Fooey on church. I didn't come here just to be recognized. I came here to get something. I came here to release something. I came here to come in agreement with you and you come in agreement with me. I came in here to see the supernatural power of God resonate in my spirit. I came to discover something in me that God put in me. I expect something to get out of me here this morning. I expect something to get on me here this morning. I came here because I came to meet with the living Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll never, never, never be the same. If you believe it, come on, shout hallelujah. Do you believe it? I believe it. Woo! I believe it. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. Woo! The Bible says on the 10th day, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Suddenly. One day, 2 day, 3 day. Don't you give up in 4 day. 7 day, 8 day. You're going to miss it if you drop out now. 9 day, 9.5 day. 9 days, 23 hours. Don't you quit. Come on, God's about to pour out a blessing on you. You better hang in there. Come on, look at somebody and say, hang on, Sloopy. Hang on. Don't you give up. Don't you quit. I got up this morning and say, you can't talk me out of this. You can't pay me enough to get out of this. You can't coerce me enough to get out. No evidence is going to turn the verdict. I'm sorry, I've already been signed, sealed, and delivered. I believe that I have a future and I have a hope. And I'm not walking backward. I came too far to start going back now. Come on, I've come too far to walk back now. No. I ain't about to go back to the old life, the old way of thinking, my old friends. I've been there and done that, and it's not worth it. I'm going to get excited here in a minute. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, you have not seen anything yet. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. Now, when I shook hands with people this morning, I greeted them at the door. I said, hey, how you doing, man? Nice to see you here. Happy Sunday. And I shook their hand, and as they walked by, I greeted their friends. Hey, how you doing? God bless you. Happy Sunday. How you doing? God bless you. Happy Sunday. You know what their names were? Goodness and Mercy. That followed that man right into church. Did you know that something's following you right now? And it's called Goodness and Mercy all the days of my life. Doesn't matter what kind of day you've had. Doesn't matter what other people have done. Goodness and mercy will follow you, what? All the days of my life. Now, why is it so important? Mercy is the empowerment of God, the grace of God. But goodness is awesome. It actually means increase, promotion, and favor. I'm believing God that when I got up this morning, goodness and mercy got up with me. When I got into the car to drive over to church, goodness and mercy were sitting in the back seat. When I walked out of the parking lot and into this building, goodness and mercy walked right in with me. When I walked to the right, goodness and mercy come. When I walked to the left, goodness and mercy follow me. All the days of my life, it's time for you to turn around and shake hands with promotion, favor, increase, and the grace of God. And realize that God be for you, who can be against you? Now let me try to finish this up. Psalm 27 and 13, one of the greatest verses in the Bible for me. May not be for you, but for me. Psalm 27 and 13, I would have lost heart. I rebuked the spirit of losing heart. I rebuked the spirit of quit. If you're thinking of quitting, stop right now. Stop. Quit thinking about quitting. I would have lost heart, David said this, unless I had what? That I would. He didn't say that I would see. He just said that I believed that I would see. I believed I would see the what? Goodness, favor, increase, promotion. I would have lost heart had I not believed that I would see promotion, increase, and favor. I would have given up had I not believed that I eventually and suddenly will see promotion, favor, and increase. Are you following me? And I'm sorry I'm getting a little bit emotional, but I can't help myself because I feel this thing inside of me. Now watch. Of the Lord in the land of the living. Abraham said, I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. Did he ever find the city? No. But the Bible tells us that he had believed that he would see the city even before he saw it. How about the three Hebrew children? We already believe we're going to be delivered. Before we see the deliverance, I would have fainted going into this furnace, honey. But I just wanted you to know, I saw my deliverance before I even went in. Come on, you know what I'm talking about? Woo! Come on, how about Job? How about Job? He wasn't restored. He was still sitting in an ass heap, scraping boils. I know my Redeemer liveth. What was he doing? He said, I would have lost heart I would have given up and died right here like my wife told me to do. Like your best friend will tell you to do. Like your people around you will tell you to just quit. Just walk away. Just give up. You need to say, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. There ain't an ounce of quit in me. I'm going to stand my ground because I would have lost heart had I not believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord. Look at somebody and say, you're about to see something. Come on, you're about to see something. Oh, you're about to see the goodness of the Lord. Ah! Ah! You can make it if you want to. You can make it if you want to. Do you want to? How bad do you want it? Yeah, see, you gotta say, how bad? I can make it if I want to. How bad do you want it? I want it with everything in me. I want it with all my fiber. I want it because I know that God is good and I can make it. I want to. I will. I will make it. Come on. Give somebody a high five. Come on. I'm going to make it. I'm making it. I want to make it. I'm going to make it. Come on, give somebody a high five. You can sit down because I'm not done. I'm almost done. Do you have that slide that said you can make it if you want to? Put it up on the screen. I want them to see it, not only hear it. Now I'm about to close, but listen. James 1:8. Huh? You got to get up in the morning and say, I'm leaving the place of doubt, fear, and worry. I'm leaving that place. I'm leaving that place of the opinions of others that are trying to redefine me contrary to how God's defined me. I quit. I'm not listening to them. I'm going to another place. Next time you start thinking it, talk out loud. Just like you stopped your count, talk out loud. Glory to God. This morning I was in the early service. The devil said, well, did you see so-and-so? They weren't there. And did you see so-and-so? They weren't there. And did you see so-and-so? They weren't there. And I'm in my mind. I said, hey, yeah, but I saw so-and-so and they were there. I saw them and they were there. And they were praising Jesus. Hallelujah. They were all excited about Jesus. Hey, devil, did you see that one that raised their hand that wanted to get saved? Hey, did you see that? You got to talk out loud. Now, I just want to warn you, people are going to think you're a little bit, you know, a little bit. James 1:8 says, don't let a double-minded mind assume that he can get anything because what? He's unstable in what? All his ways. That's the devil's goal. Get enough thought in your mind so that you'll consider it and become unstable. To become two-minded. Double-minded actually means two minds and two souls. That's what it means in the Greek. So you're a man or a woman who is schizophrenic. Double-minded. I got two minds and I got two souls. So his idea is to interject counter thoughts to what Jesus said. You got to be careful where these come from. You've got to wear a filter all the time because they'll come from the most unsuspecting place. They'll come from your family. They'll come from your friend. They'll come from your spouse. You have got to protect yourself. You've got to realize that this is an attempt of the enemy to create double-mindedness in my heart. Why? Because he knows if he can get you to think double-minded, you'll become unstable and you will not go to the place of explosive blessing. You'll stay in the place of worry, fear, and doubt. So let me give you a little more on this. Double-minded in the Greek means a person with two minds or souls. This is a great statement. I don't know where I got it. I hope I remembered it, that I give credit to it, or I came up with it myself, maybe. I don't know. I don't think I'm that smart. But a person that's double-minded is constantly in conflict with themselves. They're not in conflict with other people. You think it's because of the people. No, it's not the person. It's, well, if it wasn't for them, I'd be doing better. Now, the problem is you're double-minded and you're in conflict with yourself. You believe what they say rather than you believe what he said. So now you blame them for their opinions of you, and you become two-minded and two souls to try to operate in faith. We cannot be certain and doubting at the same time. Say that. I cannot be certain and doubting at the same time. I can't be. It's impossible. You can't be certain and then go, well, I don't know. It doesn't work that way, right? So the enemy's going to try and interject those thoughts. So let me just show you. Have you ever read Dr. Doolittle? Some of you have. Okay, some of you haven't, but let me introduce you to one of his characters. His name is Push Me, Pull You. Have you ever seen Push Me, Pull You? This is Push Me, Pull You and Dr. Doolittle. He's got one body and two heads. He's got feet going one direction with one head and feet going in another direction with the other head. That's what a double-minded man looks like. Push me, pull you. Push me, pull you. And so we go through life going and trying to go to two different directions at the same time. You know what God said? He came with his leader and said, hey, if God be God, then serve him. If he's not, then go over there. How many are with God? And they went, I'm with God. And you know, enough of them were so double-minded, they're like, well, I guess I am. I'm not sure I am. I guess I am. I don't know if I am or not. And you know what? They missed the opportunity. Don't miss your opportunity. Make a decision today that God in me is a majority. God in me. I don't care how many people are with you. Without him, you're the minority. Don't ever think just because you got 20 people that believe like you. You know, you got 20 people that they're all gathered. Yeah, that's right. I wouldn't do that either, man. You got to tell that person what they think. Yeah, I believe that too. Man, I feel better. Misery loves company. Be careful. Just because you got 20 people agreeing with you doesn't make you the majority. But if you got God agreeing with you, now you're the majority. And it's not God agreeing with you. It's you agreeing with God. Come on, lift up your hands and say, I choose to agree with God no matter what. I choose to agree with God no matter what, because when I agree with God, God and me are the majority. In Jesus' name, amen. You believe that? Come on, amen. I believe that. Now let me close with this. I want to give you six directives of Faith Camp. This is important. I'm going to repeat these because you need to get these in your spirit. We taught the first week that what am I not seeing in my present that God has already there, but I'm not seeing it in the spirit. Hagar didn't see the well in the wilderness. God opened her eyes and she saw it. It was there, but she didn't see it in her present. What are you missing that you walked past? The Bible said that when Abraham was about to slay Isaac, he looked back and saw a ram behind him caught in a thicket. What have you forgotten to see? What did you overlook in your journey? Number three. God told Peter to go to the sea, go fishing, pull out a fish, and take a coin out of its mouth. What am I seeing? What can I expect to see in the routines of my life? I can expect to see a miracle in the routines of my life. Getting up in the morning, getting my kids ready for school, taking my parent here to the doctor, I going to the grocery shop, shopping. I can expect to see God in a miraculous way just doing the normal routine things in my life. Number four, how can I increase my capacity for God? Israel was told, dig ditches. But I'm going to do something. I'm going to fill those ditches without wind and without rain. Now that's a powerful thing. When God tells you to make capacity for him and he says, I'm going to fill it, but I'm not going to do it in any means natural that you've ever seen before. But when you get up in the morning, those ditches are going to be full of water. But I'm going to do that, not by wind, not by rain. Number five, because I'm attached, I can have accelerated favor. The 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 staffs were presented before the Lord in the presence of God. And the staff that budded, blossomed, and had ripe almonds on it was Levi's staff. Levi, if you look in Genesis 49, was actually cursed by his father. He was actually cursed by his father. But here it is, Levi's staff is the one that was the miraculous staff. And that's because Levi's name means attached. I want you to be encouraged that even though you might have failed and made wrong choices, you're still attached through Christ in covenant with God. And God in 24 hours can give you accelerated favor. And finally, number six, God has a place of explosive blessings in your life, but you cannot consider quitting. You cannot consider entertaining thoughts that are contrary to God's thoughts. And you've got to want it. You've got to say, I want this so bad, I will do whatever it takes to see it come to pass. And I'm saying again, one last time, you can do this if you want to. You can do this if you want to. And I have all kind of Christians always telling me, well, if it wasn't for my mother, if it wasn't for my birth order, if it wasn't for my friends, if it wasn't for that other church, if it wasn't for this other pastor, stop. You can do this if you want to. How do I do it? Consider not the natural things, but believe God at His word and declare it out of your mouth. And expect to see the blessing of God, the explosive blessing of God upon your life. I can hardly wait to see God just blow up everything around you. And just when everything falls and the dust clears, we come walking out like dum-da-da-dum, dum-da-da-dum, dum-da-da-dum. It's like, you know, that disease, that cancer, all this stuff coming on you. And God goes, boom. And you come walking out of it like some superhero. And you're like, yeah. I am a superhero because the explosive blessing of God on your life. You believe it, say amen.
Amen.
Come on, stand up on your feet. Glory to God. Woo! Don't get me excited this morning. Oh, wow. Hey, we've got a beautiful display this morning all over this side of the room of ministries that are available. It's our ministry fair. And we want you to be a part of it. Our ushers, our greeters are over there. Worship ministry, prayer ministry, benevolence ministry. Mike and Trina, they're going to be over there. John and Lisa are going to be over there. T and I are going to be walking around. Before you go out the door, get over there and look and see what's available. You say, I got to get plugged in, man. I got to add to the kingdom here. What can I do? How can I use my gifts and my talents and my treasures? This last week, we delivered 3 beds. Some people say, well, that's not very spiritual. It is if you don't have a bed to sleep on. We delivered 3 beds. You know that girl that came in with the purple hair at the Love Center? Thursday night, we took over 3 beds to her house. And the people that donated the beds, her kids were sleeping on the floor, said, what are the genders of the children? So we found that out. And here's what they did. They bought appropriate sheets, pillowcases, and blankets, so that not only did we bring them a bed, but they also blessed them with a full complement of bedding and blankets and whatever those things are that you cover the bed with, bedspreads or whatever they're called. And those are the kinds of things that these ministries represent. It is the supernatural power of God walking into a home and saying, you know what, we can change that. That's why we need each other. All I had to do, Lowell, was make that announcement on Thursday night. By morning, I had 3 beds. When I told those people about it, they said, look, God just spoke to me. The Holy Spirit just spoke to me. Now I'm going to go buy sheets. Is it okay? Let me pray about it. Amen. Yes, go get the sheets. So whether it's food covered, whether it's children's ministry, whether it's visiting the sick in the hospital, whether it's following up new families, whether it's being involved in the Chilling and Whatnot or Exit 187 or youth ministry or There's just so much over there. Sozo ministry, the transformation ministry, freedom ministry. I want you to go over and take a look at it. These people have worked hard. Let's sign up. Let's be part of this thing. I believe God will show you some great things. Amen. Woo. Thanks for putting up with me. I appreciate it so much. I mean, I got to just do my thing, you know. I can't help it. You don't have to clap, but thank you. I appreciate it. You always have a let me be me. I thank you for that. I never felt like I got to be something that I'm not, and I appreciate that so much. Take somebody by the hand, cross the aisle. Take somebody by the hand, cross the aisle. Take somebody by the hand, cross the aisle. Close your eyes. I want you to begin to speak over that person's life that they and God are a majority. Come on, let's begin to speak it, that they and God are a majority. Begin to speak that they are leaving a place of fear and doubt and worry and unbelief, and they are going to a place where God is going to pour out explosive blessings upon their life and upon their family and upon their children. Come on. And now begin to speak over them that when the explosion comes and when the dust clears, they're going to emerge as like a superhero coming out of all the calamity around them, because greater is He that is in them than he that is in the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Now before we go, and you say, hey preacher, I really need to make a choice for God. Yeah. I need to make a choice for God. I've been vacillating. I've been kind of a pull me, push me guy. I've let thoughts come in my mind that are contrary. I just want to seal this thing in the Spirit. I want to seal this. I want to move forward. You challenge me and I want to take the challenge. Altar ministers, would you come under anointing of God? Come on, come under the anointing of God. Friends, I'm telling you, there are going to be some supernatural manifestations. What do I mean by that? God's going to show up with prophetic word. God's going to show up with ideas, visions. God's going to show up with healing in His wings. God's going to show up around here with salvation. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is on this word right now. And if you'll respond to it, God will do great things for your life. So today, you need prayer in any dimension of your life. I want you to come from where you are, join one of these in prayer, and let's believe God. Don't forget, guys, Wednesday night, fight like a man of God. We'll have a great time together. Let's lift our hands and worship. Would you sing it, Melody? Come on.
Called me out upon the water.
It's always good to worship Him. Come on.
Great unknown.
Oh, yeah. Come on, Jesus.
Feet may fail.
Come on. We believe God.
And there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep. My faith will stand.
Thank you, Lord.
And I will call upon your name.
You need to go. God bless you. Live right. Love everybody. Pray hard.
Keep my eyes
above. Well, we invite you to linger.
Ways.
Get over to the tables. Check them out.
When
thank you for being
rise,
here.
My soul rests in you.